listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. As everybody knows, the Gold Cup is off and running tomorrow. We'll start that again because it's tonight. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. As everybody knows, the Gold Cup off and running this summer, and there has been a major priority for the United States and Mexico on winning this. Costa Rica also involved in this, as well as many other nations in CONCACAF and up in Canada. Tonight, well, he joins us. He's a local product. He is a part of the El Salvador national team. We all know him from his days here in Houston, now playing in Hungary, Arturo Alvarez. Arturo, thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you, Glenn. How are you?
Great to have you on, and I'm doing fine, and I know you are too. Let's talk a little bit about Group B and El Salvador, because I get the sense that people might be looking beyond you guys a little bit.
I think we have a tough group. We have Canada, Jamaica, and Costa Rica in our groups. And, we know that Costa Rica is, one of the strongest teams in CONCACAF. They had a really good World Cup, last summer. And, we're kind of going to take it, game by game, and hopefully we can go as far as possible in this tournament.
What's the priority for you here, Arturo? Because I know you're very happy playing in Hungary. You're playing in the top division there. You've been with El Salvador continually. Last summer I had the pleasure of calling your game against Spain in Landover, Maryland, before Spain went to the World Cup. You guys put on a nice performance there against Spain. You know, what is it for Arturo Alvarez right now personally, and then for El Salvador as a team?
Oh, well, at the moment, you know, I'm actually, I think, you know, 2014 and in the beginning of 2015 was a good year for me, on a personal note. We won the league in Hungary. We were the champions. So I'm really proud of that. I think throughout the whole year, I was a very important and consistent player for my team, which, you know, obviously that means a lot to a soccer player. And then also with the national team, I think this past year has been great for me, and definitely looking forward to this Gold Cup, and also I could say that I'm actually one of the most experienced guys on this team, and we have a really young team. I think like the average age is 25, I believe, and I'm just here trying to perform to my best of my own abilities and make sure that. If I can help out El Salvador in any way, I'm going to be there for them. So,
let me take you back to Hungary. How does the coach of Videoton use you in Hungary, and is it similar to the way you're going to be used with El Salvador in the Gold Cup?
Yeah. I've been playing in Hungary. We play a 4-3-3, and I'm one of the. I usually play on the right side of the front three. And, in a similar formation here in El Salvador, and I do play the same position. So, I feel comfortable there, and I think that's where I've been, most successful at.
Coach, they like you cutting in on your left foot.
Yeah, that's been one of my, you could say, trademarks, I guess you can call it. I've been doing it for a long time now, and it seems to be working, so why stop,
If the listeners remember, Arturo Alvarez left Houston as a teenager, bypassed the college game. San Jose was a part of an MLS Cup-winning team, then went to FC Dallas. Houston fans will remember Arturo from FC Dallas, and has carved out a great career both internationally and overseas. And he did play in the Bear Creek area. Carlos Lessa was his coach, who used to play for the old Houston Hotshots. Arturo, the Gold Cup, what sort of pressure is there on El Salvador? Do you get pressure from the home country now? Do you get it in the press? Is there real pressure on El Salvador, or is that really kind of dissipated?
To be honest with you, I think, the Central American region, I think you know it pretty well yourself. There's always pressure. They expect you to win things. They want you to win things, and And when you do, they want you to win things doing it, you know, playing good football, good soccer. So, you know, I think there's always pressure from, you know, from our fans, from the media, in El Salvador. So, but, you know, I think it's normal for any country, in the CONCACAF region or anywhere to be quite honest with you. And so, so yeah, you know, like I said, we all know that we're a young team, and you know, me on the personal note, I'm not trying to use that as an excuse or anything. I just think that you know, it's always good to have experience. You know, it takes you far, but we have a good team, and I think we can show that in the first game against Canada. So
now you should get some good support in Carson, California. That's where Arturo is now via phone right now. Out in California, preparing for tomorrow night's Gold Cup opener. El Salvador will take on Canada, and Arturo's a big piece of this for the El Salvadorian national team. It's a game you can catch on Fox Sports 2. In fact, whoever would have thought I'd be calling one of Arturo's games again, and Yanis Mihalik and I will have the call on Fox Sports 2. The Gold Cup obviously kicking off tonight, but this first game for you could really set the tone. Getting a result against Canada could be a monster.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a tough group, like I said before, and I think we have to come out, you know, with a winning mentality, make sure that we can put some pressure on the rest of the teams on this group, and I think that will be perfect if we can start out the tournament with a win against Canada. So,
now you have a number of players that are playing in different countries, not only yourself, but you know, we've got some MLS players certainly that have performed very well. That are a part of El Salvador squad. You've got another player named Nelson Bonilla, who's maybe a lot of people don't know who he is, but he plays in Romania, kind of a poacher. Talk to me a little bit about the experiences some of your teammates are getting in other countries.
Yeah, you know, like I said before, the team is it's a young team, but there is some guys playing abroad. Outside of El Salvador, even though I would say that the majority of the players that formed the national team are from El Salvador, playing in the local league in El Salvador. So, yeah, but we have you know, Darwin Serena, who plays for Orlando City in MLS, and like you said, Nelson Bonilla is playing in Romania. He plays for a team, you know, mid-table, which is, you know, the main league is a tough league. There's some really good teams there, and so yeah, there's a few players that play in the NASL as well. One player that plays for Tampa Bay,
Richard Menjivar.
Yeah, Richard Menjivar, and then also Andres Flores, who plays for the Cosmos. So there is a few players playing outside, and I think you know, these players are key players for us, and you know, they can bring a little bit of what, you know, of how things are played in their clubs.
So. Do your teammates feel like the Gold Cup is a real platform to showcase their skills?
I think for any team, you know, the Gold Cup is it's a big tournament for the CONCACAF region, and so I think everyone wants to come here, do well, and show well. And I think you know, if there's players that want to come, you know, come play in MLS, I think it's a perfect scenario for them to show.
Now, I get the sense you feel a real responsibility to your fans, because you're going to get some great fan support in Carson. You're going to get tremendous fan support here in Houston. El Salvadorian fans on July 11th, by the way, there's a doubleheader. Arturo's going to be there. Here's another great reason why you go. You support one of the great local players, Arturo Alvarez, who honed his game here in Houston and now represents El Salvador internationally. What sort of responsibility is there to produce big efforts for the fans?
Oh, you know, it's to be honest, the Salvadorian team has a lot of support when we come playing in the U.S. You know, there's a big Salvadorian community in L.A., in Houston, D.C. So when we go to these places, you know, it's a packed house most of the time, and it feels good, you know. So obviously, you want to be there, and you want to, you know, you want to give them a win, preferably, and make sure that we play well and we leave it on the field for them, because, you know, to be honest, they're there in the good times and in the bad times. So, it's always good to play in front of them here in the States and in El Salvador. And for me, it's even more special because we have a game in Houston against Costa Rica, which is a top team, and we just want to, you know, I just want to perform well for my family who will be at the game, and for my friends in the city that I grew up in.
Yeah, I got to think your parents are extremely excited that you're coming back here to Houston again to perform here in front of them. And what a wonderful moment. I mean, did you ever dream you're going to be playing in stadiums like this and competitions like this in front of your family?
Not really, especially because when I was growing up in Houston, there was no MLS team, and there was no BVA, and so, you know, to get the opportunity to come home and go to Houston and play and play for El Salvador is just it's kind of like a, you know, things that you would dream of as a little kid. So I'm actually really happy and blessed that I get these opportunities.
Well, there's going to be a lot of fans here in Houston for the Gold Cup. I can assure you that. I've had a lot of my Salvadorian friends asking me for tickets. Unfortunately, they're going to have to try to win them tonight on this program. But Arturo, listen, great to catch up with you. We thank you very much for coming on the program tonight. Everybody down here in Houston has really wonderfully been able to enjoy watching your career and your growth as a player. Thank you very much for coming on the program tonight.
No, thank you. Thank you, Glenn. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, and remember the last time we had you in studio. That was fun with your girlfriend.
It was. I do remember.
We'll do it again real soon. He's Arturo Alvarez. He represents El Salvador. They open up their Gold Cup tomorrow against Canada. That's a game you can catch on Fox Sports 2. So you can catch a local, Arturo Alvarez, in action for El Salvador against Canada. Canada's got a very talented young striker named Kyle Larin. Who many people are ticketing for greatness. So a very important opening Group B game for El Salvador and Arturo Alvarez and Canada. We'll take a break here. As we take a break, quick word here for the one and only Bud Light. Bud Light thanks you for all their great support, for your support of soccer and this radio show, Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Bud Light reminds you, get down to the Gold Cup at BBVA Compass Stadium. You can get your tickets at bbvacompass.com. And, of course, Bud Light reminds you that they want you to be in stadium with like-minded individuals. Bud Light, great supporters of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Break time. It's a 7-Up break. To see my name headline the coast.
They say I'm a walking dreamer, baby. ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the Gau Studios in Houston. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. The Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24/7. They are Houston personal injury attorneys. They handle personal injury cases from plant and refinery accidents to medical injuries, industrial accidents, 18-wheeler accidents to boat and car accidents. It's DaspitLaw.com. Call 713-364-0915. DaspitLaw.com. My good friend John Daspit, we appreciate his support of the great game of soccer on the air. Now listen, with the Daspit Law Firm, you can rest more assured in times of stress. Depending on the circumstances of your accident, that you have a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side to fight for your right for compensation. Contact the Daspit Law Firm, supporters of the game of soccer, 713-364-0915, or toll-free 888-273-1045, both in English and Spanish. Soccer Matters, thanks, the Daspit Law Firm. And right now we bring in from Texas A&M, one of the top soccer programs in the nation, to talk women's national team and its impact. He is the head coach of the Aggies. He is G. Guerreri. G., thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Glenn. Great being here.
Wanted to get you on to talk about this and what this means in the big picture, the women winning this World Cup. So before we get into maybe breaking the game down a little bit here, just what sort of the feedback have you got from your current players and everybody associated with your program? Because everybody's a winner in the women's game here.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think, you know, the exuberance by people around the country, and many of which who are not, you know, wouldn't classify themselves as diehard soccer fans, are in. You know, they're all in when USA is winning and when we're winning world championships. So the fact that there's been so much work behind the scenes, there's been so many hours put in by these players and by the people who've been coaching them and developing them over the years, it's obviously a big, big win for all of us.
And as you as a coach working with young athletes, and you're working with obviously some of the most committed, most competitive athletes in the women's game in the nation, this is great for you, though, right? Because this can allow you a lot of teachable moments, the success of the U.S.?
Of course. And I think, you know, if you were to look, you know, in these four-year snippets of how the game has developed and how far it's come since 1991 when the U.S. won the original world championship, you know, it's come light years. The way that other countries are playing the game and the level of sophistication that's been added to the game beyond just the competitive nature of our great athletes in the United States, those provide some really good tactical teaching moments for a lot of players to look at and see how these teams solve these pressure issues, how these teams, you know, attacked on set pieces, how these teams built out of the back, how these teams didn't. A lot of that wasn't terribly viable, I'd say, in 1999. But you know, the way some of these teams played this time around, it was very, very entertaining.
Now, if you saw the expanded field up there, which you did, obviously 24 teams now, how healthy is that for the women's game? What sort of statement does that make now?
I think it's a good statement. Unfortunately, you know, you don't have enough time for us to go into our list of grievances with FIFA and the way that FIFA treats the women's game in general. I mean, the fact that, for example, that the U.S. and Germany were staying in the same hotel to save a few bucks for FIFA in the semifinal is kind of tells exactly where it is. Or the fact that they played the whole tournament on turf because they don't really care about the women's game goes one thing, but the fact that they were able to get more teams in and expand that field and then show that some of these teams that would have been seen as outliers in the past really did well. Colombia beat France. England comes in third place. Teams that have always been kind of on the peripheral showed that they are worthy of competing with the best teams. And, you know, you and I have talked about how exciting it was to see teams like Cameroon in there and to see how well some of the African players have done. That only will help out. And you can think back to when the Men's World Cup expanded in the same way, back, you know, after 1982 and got more and more of these developing parts of the world into it. The women's game is clearly developing at a breakneck pace all around the globe.
He's Gee Guerrieri. He is the head coach of Texas A&M. Had an outstanding season last year, got to the last four teams in the NCAA tournament. And by the way, you know, as we go back to that tournament, Morgan Bryan in that final against Florida State University played as a holding midfielder.
Yep, and she unlocked us. You know, she had an assist on their goal in the first half, which was, her being able to go back, receive a ball, get her head up, and hit about a 45-yard pass to a kid on the back post was pretty special. And I couldn't be happier for her. And obviously, with her now being a member of the Dash and everything, it's really exciting that she's going to be coming and playing in this community.
Yeah, and for her to be such a big pivotal part of the turnaround, when I look at her, I see a real thinker, a soccer player that's a thinker. Again, another wonderful player to hold up to youth players, right?
Absolutely, and she's someone who has dedicated so many hours and has made a lot of sacrifices in her life to live that dream. And I thought that I thought Jill Ellis' comment after the game yesterday was really fitting in that, you know, that, you know, now this gives license to little girls everywhere to dream this dream and to be bold in what they want out of the game and out of their dreams. And it couldn't be any better. I really, really, really excited for American female players and what they're going to be able to do, you know, touching back to this experience that they had watching these women play.
Yeah, every single youth coach in America that's on the field working with soccer players has just been handed a golden opportunity and a golden teachable moment. My concern is that sometimes we forget. When we see Carly Lloyd, the adulation and everything happening with these ladies, my concern sometimes is that we forget to do the teachable moment, which is let's consider the amount of time and effort that these women have put into getting to this level. Because there was a lot of sweat equity at times when there was nobody around watching people.
Obviously, the goal that we'll always remember is her goal from 58 yards. She looks up and sees the goalkeeper off the line. It's one thing to look up and see that. It's another thing for you to be able to ping a ball at game speed, be able to put that ball on target over the goalkeeper. You know, clearly, that wasn't the first time she had struck that ball. She's obviously struck the ball in her mind, you know, countless times over the years, and that had obviously struck that ball when nobody was watching. And then to have the confidence to go ahead and do it in front of the globe in the World Cup final is just amazing, absolutely amazing.
Yeah, incredible confidence. And you know, she was on our show a couple of days before and was just talking about the intensity of the training, how she was working towards this moment, how her family and others were not with her. This level of focus is just something that's absolutely remarkable.
Yeah, and I thought that, you could see this in the first, especially, we were up, 4-0 after 18 minutes or something crazy like that. But the way that the U.S. women came out, their focus and their level of intensity in the first 5 minutes, I mean, I remember watching the way that we were solving pressure, the way we had the Japanese just kicking balls back, which is completely unlike the way that they want to play. Now, I turned to my son next to me and go, Japanese are in trouble. We are going to kill these guys. And, everybody was all in. There wasn't any lax thoughts. There wasn't any, I'm going to cut a corner here like that. I mean, it was all in. And then obviously to score the two goals on set pieces early on was great, but I thought that the focus and the way that they were going into it, I mean, we were playing the right way. Pressure was being put on. We were keeping possession under pressure. We were breaking their pressure and moving the ball and setting up some play with combinations that this team wasn't doing early on in the tournament. And I think that's a pretty good indicator of what the American fighting spirit is all about. And when you get these this level of quality international athlete really zeroed in and you get all 11 of them zeroed in together, man, it's fun to watch.
So the big takeaway here, G, I mean, we know in the short term there's going to be probably some inflated attendances at the NWSL. Everybody's in the euphoria, the excitement. Big picture, if you look out from this World Cup, what sort of support does the women's game get now, and is this just another great moment of subtly moving the sport forward?
I think it marches forward for sure. I think it takes a huge step that it didn't take in 2011 when we came up short. I think a lot of people will look at these players, especially now that they're playing in NWSL. I'm hopeful that the league gets a huge boost from this. I mean, the Dash have got three of the starters from that particular team and three of the players who played the best on that team. If Houston is going to, get behind this team like we all want the city to be, there's no time like now. I mean, Randy Waldron has done a great job of collecting great players. Unfortunately for him, he just hasn't had those players all in the lineup because of national team commitments and everything else. Now that when they do start coming back and reporting and playing at the stadium and getting back out in the community, I'm kind of excited about how the city is going to really embrace these guys.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. They're going to get close to 10,000 for their next game. That's what I'm going to say, because I think the star quality is going to reach out to some people who have never been in that stadium before to see women's soccer, who are just going to find out about the Houston Dash. So I'm going bold. I'm going 10,000, G.
That'd be fantastic. I mean, I'm not going to go against you. I think it's exciting. They'll play Chicago in that first game, and I've got one of my former players that plays with Chicago, and obviously we have a couple girls with the Dash right now. So, the experience that, that they're going to have, the life experience that they're going to get out of this, and what they're going to do personally to help take the game forward is really, really, really neat.
Well, Gee, thank you very much, as always, coming on, and we appreciate all your comments here and your expertise tonight.
Thanks, and you guys have a great week.
Great hearing from Gee Guerrieri. And as a reminder, before we go to break, 7-Up, great solo or as a mixer. 7-Up, enjoy the crisp, clean taste of 7-Up. 7-Up delivers more than natural lemon-lime flavors you love. No caffeine and 100% natural flavor. 7-Up is always refreshing. Don't forget 7-Up 10, which has the full flavor of 7-Up with only 10 calories. Finally, the perfect 10. And Bayern Munich, a wonderful place to catch international soccer, including the Premier League. Bayern Munich is open for Premier League Gold Cup coming up. Go down there and say hello to my friend Raymond. And, of course, get over to the Gorgeous Gale in West University. You can also catch the Gold Cup there as well as the Houston Dynamo and Houston Dash. So it's Bayern Munich in Midtown. It's the Gorgeous Gale in West University. Break time, 7-Up break.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Each and every week, we are pleased to have the opportunity to get into the mind of the head coach. And tonight, well, as usual, it is Houston Dynamo head coach Owen Coyle. Owen, how are you?
I'm good, Glenn. How are you? Always good to chat.
All right. Let's start it off, because I know you're a big football man when it comes to watching as well. How about a couple of comments on how successful the U.S. Women's National Team was winning the World Cup and, of course, the connection to the Houston Dash?
Well, obviously, I think it was first and foremost, it was an amazing performance from the U.S. Women. I mean, you know, Japan, as you know, are an outstanding side, and to give that level of performance. And even then, I've got to say, the game itself was what a tremendous advert for our sport. And then Japan showed their quality, get back to 4-2, and all of a sudden you think it could get nervous, and the US scored another brilliant goal. I just thought, you know, it was a terrific all-round performance. I'm so pleased for them, because when we come here, everybody's invested in the sport and obviously invested in the country, and you want everybody to be doing well in that respect. And then the fact that we three of the girls, you know, Megan Klinberg, Morgan Bryan, Carolyn Lloyd scoring a hat-trick, but three of the girls that play at the Houston Dash. It was just an outstanding night, obviously, for them individually and obviously for their country. And from our club perspective then, it was just a fantastic evening, Glenn. I've thoroughly enjoyed the whole tournament, I've got to say. And, you know, the technical ability the girls showed as well. It was great to see, and it was so pleasing to give such a high level of performance on the biggest stage that those girls were playing. I mean, it's a World Cup final. Capacity crowd, the atmosphere was electric, and so was the performance.
Yeah, and then this is not just a win for women's soccer. I think this is a win for soccer all over the world, really.
Absolutely, and I think it's a big win for soccer in the US, Glenn. You and I know, I mean, this year by year, you know, our sport's improving. Our sport, I mean, everybody, and then the next generation pass it on to theirs, and that's why we know the game's on the up and the up. You look at our MLS league, I mean, the quality, New York City now bringing Pirlo in. I mean, these are world-class players. So everything about the game, particularly globally, but particularly in the country here in the US, it's going from strength to strength, and that can only help everybody going moving forward.
He's Owen Coyle, Houston Dynamo manager. Let's take you into the Chicago game. Let's get your thoughts on the 1-1 draw on Friday night.
Yeah, well, again, just as I said on Friday night, and I knew at the time, I mean, I felt it was a game that we should have won. I think, with all due respect, we were the better side, had better goal-scoring chances, and my annoyance and frustration was that we switched off and allowed a soft goal. And, you know, McGee came on, and Benike, their DP, they spent a lot of money on in the summer, had a bit of pace, went out of the game, and McGee comes on, who's been a terrific player in the league. And he's got different types. He's not got a blistering pace, but he's got clever movement. But for that, I mean, there was three or four individual errors within the goal. And that was the thing that was frustrating, because the game at 1-0, really we should be going on to 1-2 and 3, given that we'd been in very good form, as you know, at home in the previous two games with, you know, the 3-1 win over Portland Timbers, the 4-2 win over Red Bulls. And we just felt it was an opportunity to go and get 3 points. And, you know, you've not lost a game, but you've drawn a game we felt we were good enough to win. So there was an element of that frustration, whatever you want to call it. But the important things, I've always said, the beauty of our sport, the next game gives you the opportunity to go and pick up your 3 points And that's what we've got to focus on. We've got a huge game at San Jose on Friday, one we're looking forward to. As you know, the home game, we missed a couple of great chances against them, missed a penalty. And then, obviously, we lost a goal, which was as much as a good finish, the boy was offside. So we know going there on Friday, it's a game that we are capable of winning. Got a number of players missing, which we'll probably touch on shortly, but the group we've got, we know they're still capable of going and winning the match.
Owen Coyle joining us here on Dynamo All Access, Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Consistency, I know, is something you and I have talked about a lot this year, and I know you've talked to your team about it, and you mentioned the New York Red Bulls and performances like that and performances like against Portland at home. But, boy, consistency is really what it is all about when you're looking for a model of professionalism, both individually and collectively, and this seems to be something you're still seeking out.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Glenn. And, I mean, when all said and done, what we've got to understand, our club, we're not a New York City, an LA Galaxy, or a Toronto, or a Seattle that can go out and spend huge amounts of money for a quick fix. So what we've got to do is we've got to put a plan in place that and be clever at what we do in terms of looking for a long-term plan, not a quick fix. And that's what we're doing. And we know, as I said before, Glenn, when we take those steps, everything we're implementing, all throughout our staff, from our director of sports science to our analysis to what we're doing on the training ground day by day, those steps will stand this club in good stead for moving on to the future. We understand everybody wants to take leaps and bounds, but the game we are in, it never works like that. Good things obviously take time to mature and develop, and that's what we're doing. And one of those is that consistency. Now, there's bits and pieces that we've been able to add. We brought Raul and one or two players in as well. But equally, we've got to understand as well that moving forward, you know, I think the club conceded a record franchise high in terms of goals conceded last year. That's something we have to do better at. And on the other end, we have to be looking to score goals. So it's all in all putting all that into place. But you're right, within that consistency, the performance you mentioned, Red Bulls, Portland, at Toronto, I mean, even on the road at LA Galaxy, we drew early in the season, we've shown home or away, we can win games, we can play very well. But good players in the top teams, Glenn, they bring that nearly every week. Not 1 week out of three or four, or two out of four or five. And it's having that level of consistency. When you do that, it gives you the platform to go and achieve results. So, of course, from our perspective, it can be frustrating, but day by day, we continue to work hard so that we can eventually, as I say, get to that level where we feel we've got that level of consistency. And with that comes continuity, comes consistency of results in terms of that 1 point becomes three, which becomes six and nine. And the one thing I've learned within the MLS, in terms of results, there can be huge inconsistencies within that. Teams can go on a 4 or 5 win running spree, and then all of a sudden, it can be 5 and 6 without a win. You look at New England last year, who were very unlucky in the MLS final against the LA Galaxy, if you remember. I think they had a spell last year where they lost eight in a row. I think this year they're now 10. At the moment, they're in a period of 10 without a win.
Yes.
So, and they're a good side. So what we've got to understand, and that's why I go back to this consistency, if you can have that level of consistency, then more often than not, you'll achieve the results, and that will move you where you want to be in terms of as a club and in terms of your position in the standings.
He is the one and only Owen Coyle. Owen, as always, thank you very much for coming on the show and being so candid with our listeners.
No, it's a pleasure, Glenn. As I said before, just a big thanks for myself, the staff and the players. Our fans have been magnificent. Keep that coming up. Keep it going. And we'll certainly look to reward them, that's for sure.
He's Owen Coyle. Thank you, Owen, very much for joining the show tonight.
Well, the Dynamo will be in action Friday night. That is a nationally broadcasted game on Univision. They will be in San Jose to take on the San Jose Earthquakes.
For more information, get over to Facebook, Soccer Matters. Follow me on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Or you get over to HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get your Dynamo tickets. By the way, L.A. and Steven Gerrard coming to town soon. Also, the Houston Dash in action July 12th this Sunday with Carly Lloyd and Company. It's HoustonDynamo.com for tickets.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the Gao Studios in Houston. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Let me tell you about two of my favorite restaurants in Houston. It's Liberty Kitchen in the Heights and Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette on San Felipe, this one near the Galleria. Now, you'll find award-winning chefs at both of these restaurants serving up the best in seafood and meats. Raw bars at both of these locations. Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette has clams, oysters, you name it, they have it. Liberty Kitchen in the Heights has a smoked salmon, fresh fish, oysters, gumbo, right on down to amazing steaks and burgers. They're also serving breakfast on the weekend. Take it from me for an amazing dining experience. It's libertykitchen.com, libertykitchenoysterette.com, which leads us into the final interview of the night from the Montreal Gazette. He also played with the Montreal Impact. He is Lloyd Barker, and we are talking Women's World Cup in Canada. Lloyd, how are you?
Doing wonderful, Glenn. I'm actually on a field in Alberta.
The work never ends for you.
I'm taking the time now to teach some kids and really loving being out here on the outdoors in the sun. Wonderful.
Yeah, the young kids that you're working with, have they been aware of Canada hosting the Women's World Cup?
Oh, are they ever. There are 150 kids where I'm at right now, and every single one of them is aware. And we've discussed that about the importance of the games and what it meant to them and so on. Throughout the week, we'll touch on it a little bit more. But they're very much aware of what just took place here in Canada. No question about it. The country has been awakened by women's football, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and I would take that here to the United States as well. What great opportunity, what recognition from you and all the guys who are working your camp specifically to take this moment and really hold it up to young minds.
Oh, man, I watched the game last night with a bunch of the coaches from the camp, including some Canadian national coaches. And there's some young ladies as well, some daughters of few of the parents of the camp. And you could just see it in their eyes. They're glowing because now they finally see something. And that's always the hope, that they see something that triggers something in them that says, you know what, I might want to do that one day. Or hopefully they'll say, I definitely want to do that someday. They watched that moment yesterday. And God bless the U.S. I mean, it was fantastic. And I thought they were worthy winners of the tournament. When it's all said and done, and in retrospect of the overall performances of all the teams. But, you know, they've really left a mark here on a lot of young girls. Of course, the Canadian team has done wonders for that as well. But then when you see the champions and how they carry themselves and how they perform, and just the whole camaraderie of it all, I thought it was just fantastic. And, of course, the crowd turnout and everything and the support has just been fantastic. And I just think it's such a major success that if any little young girl watching, you know for a fact that it meant something to them, and you're just hoping that it carries on in them, that takes them to another level, basically.
He's Lloyd Barker, Montreal Gazette, joining us, excellent player with the Montreal Impact in his day, talking about Canada hosting the Women's World Cup. So we all know what happens in the short term here, just tremendous euphoria. Long term, how does this help the women's game in Canada?
Well, I think the important thing is, short term, you want to grab what we've got here. You want to capture the moment, and you want to kind of bottle it for as long as you can. And the reality is, you know, it'll subside. You know, that whole euphoria, it doesn't continue for years and years. But what you want to do is you want to capture the moment, and you want to at least be realistic enough to take as much of it as you can into the long term. So I think in the immediate, we know for a fact that the game and the enrollment of women's football will improve in Canada. For sure, and I'm speaking specifically in Canada because we just hosted it. So we know the enrollment will improve. We know the interest will improve. We know the spirit of the young girl now has been enhanced because now they see that there's glory at the end of the tunnel if they continue into this game. They now see where they can end up at the end of the day in 5, 10 years, 12, 15 years should they continue in the game and try to excel in the game. And so I think that long-term is the plan. But I think the reality is now, just capture what you've got, try to instill in the girls, like, you know, we've got out here today, you know, probably half the campers are girls out here, believe it or not. It's wonderful. So you try to, you know, drill in them what they saw, and then you reiterate what they saw and reiterate the importance of trying to, you know, make that a dream. You know, you don't set your dreams, but make that a possibility that you can attain that and reach the World Cup, be on the Canadian team. Be in that big moment where the world is watching you, including, you know, they know because they were watching the girls themselves. And so I think this is going to, you know, take further. And obviously, you know, speaking to the national team coaches, It's really about trying to identify those girls now and then try to, you know, nourish that ability, nourish that talent, nourish their desire, and take them forward into the game. And hopefully, you know, some of the girls that are here today, hopefully one or two of them is on the national team in 5 to 10 years. And that's what we're all hoping for.
Does Canada now do a bit of a rethink with their national team program? Obviously, they've got to move on the likes of Christine Sinclair and some of the older players ultimately here at some point. And there is a lot of good young talent coming through. Where's the Canada mindset under John Herdsman now?
That's a great question, Glenn. And I know John Herdsman immediately after the tournament, he came out and he said basically, you know, he has a long-term plan, and his long-term plan is only about partway in. So it's just about the midway mark, because he didn't have this team prepared to win the Women's World Cup. And that he's come out and said that. And the reality is he's had them in camp over 3 years. They put a bunch of millions of dollars into the program. And so that's kind of the mindset going forward. But they do have to rethink things, I think, in terms of the development stages, because I think we're still kind of behind the top countries. I mean, Japan, I mean, even Australia and Colombia that got eliminated, those teams that have been left out of the tournament, you know, in the earlier stages. We're not even talking about the U.S. and the Netherlands and the France and the Germans. They're head and shoulders, I think, above everyone. So I think the Canadians really have to reassess kind of the developmental stage. I wouldn't even go as far as to say the grassroots stage, but certainly, you know, with the 10, the 11, 12-year-olds and how we're developing those players. And that goes for the males as well, not just the women, of course, and see how they go forward. But I do know that John Herdman has a long-term plan. And, you know, if it's any indication, it's on course, because let's face it, I mean, he's come in and the following year he's won an Olympic bronze. The following year after coming in and 3 years later, he's gone to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. Say what you want about the path that they took to get there. That's the reality. They've gone to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. And so it seems that they're on course, but there are certainly some glaring issues in the technical level of the Canadian players just now.
All right, Lloyd, let me take you to the goal that Carly Lloyd scores from the halfway line, because this is a magical moment. Without question, there are few women's players that could have completed that move and has the power and strength and obviously the awareness and recognition to make a play like that. Carly Lloyd certainly does. When you saw that occur, what did you think?
There are two things. I was really proud of Carly Lloyd, because she's 33 years old and she understood she doesn't have another World Cup in her. And she knows that this is the last moment to kind of leave it out there and give what she got, and then, you know, let the chips fall kind of where they may is the old saying, right? But you leave it out there. She basically decided to take the team on her shoulders. She's the captain of one of the most notable clubs and countries in the world, obviously that being the U.S. And it's clear what she did. It was clear her intention. She wanted to lead this club, the country rather, on her shoulders. And she succeeded in doing that. So for that, it's monumental. And she takes all my respect for that. As far as the actual play itself, I would be beside myself if I didn't point out the honesty in that. I find a lot of those goals are scored. It's possible to score once you hit the ball hard and high in the women's game. And that's one of the negatives of the women's game, because I think the standard of the goalkeeping in the women's game can improve. And I think it should improve. And that's if I was going to have any knock on the game, and I specifically mean the women's game, and I might get, you know, bashed for saying that, but I'm just really being honest. Is that aspect of the game I think can improve. So Carly Lloyd did what she's capable of doing, because she knows the vulnerability of the opponent, which is their goalkeeping. It's not just Japan. It's, for me, most teams in the tournament. But it was a wonderful moment, because it's an epic goal, and it's an epic goal scored by probably the number one leader of the tournament and, you know, obviously the tournament MVP. And so for that, it just culminated in a beautiful, beautiful moment. But there certainly was an issue with the goalkeeping there, for sure.
Yeah, but just the pure strength and power she had to hit it from the halfway line. I mean, let's take the goalkeeper out of there. Even if there wasn't a goalkeeper in there, the fact that she can hit the target from that range, be that aware. Obviously, it's a goalkeeper looking in the sun at BC Place. That's something else that might have played in the minds of people. I mean, the fact that she just has the power to be able to do that, I thought was impressive. Let's the goalkeeping out of it.
You speak of the power, and you're thinking distance, but if you think of even her two goals, there's an element of power involved in that 5 yard of space that she had to sprint to earn herself that 1 yard of space to get her toe on both those goals. That might seem easy to most because it's in the box and it's a short ball played in. It's a little thick on, she gets on the end of it. But the power involved, there's a power element involved in that as well. There's quickness, and let's not take out the intelligence, the tactical intelligence of the player, because it's got to be properly timed. I mean, you know, you see a lot of players miss easy chances because, well, those things don't add up. They're there too early. They're there too late. They don't get there quick enough. They don't get there on the right time, and the moment doesn't happen. Kari Lloyd, she made it happen. So the goals come off cross easy. They say good. Sometimes things look so easy when you've done the hardest work, and that's what I think is to commend with her. But, you know, you speak of the distance in that shot, of course. It's great. She could hit it from 50 meters. That's impressive. But I'm just as impressed with the short goals she scored as well. And you know, I can't say enough about what she did, man. She really, really took this team on her shoulders and won them a World Cup. Kudos to her.
Unbelievable performance. Lloyd, as always, thank you very much for coming on the program. We appreciate it as usual, and we'll let you get back to your work up there in Canada on the fields. Thank you, as always, for coming on.
It's a pleasure, Glenn. And for your listeners, congratulations to all you U.S. folks over there. Enjoy it. I'm going to be working on these Canadian folks to come and take that trophy back in the next tournament.
Outstanding,
take care, my man.
Outstanding, Lloyd. Thank you very much. That will do it here on ESPN 97.5 for Soccer Matters. A couple of quick reminders here. Remember, you've got July 11th. It is this Saturday night. You got a Gold Cup doubleheader at BBVA Compass Stadium. Then on Sunday the 12th, Carly Lloyd, Morgan Bryant, Megan Klingenberg, the Houston Dash, three players that won the Women's World Cup. We'll be at BBVA Compass Stadium. Get your tickets over at HoustonDynamo.com. Follow everything about the game of soccer and about our radio shows. It's Facebook, Soccer Matters. It's Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Get the podcasts on iTunes or also at ESPN 975. For Michael Carroll, I say goodnight. I'm off to L.A. It's Gold Cup time.
ESPN 97.5.